This is Karen Lyle of SalesFort Talk, and I'm here in London with Dean Richards, MBE, World Player of the Year 1991 in rugby, played in 3 World Cups, won 3 Grand Slams, and as a coach, won for his team 2 European titles and 4 domestic titles. Dean, it's so good to have you with us here.
Thank you very much, Karen. I'm delighted to be here.
Now, we just had a coronation of King Charles III, and it was quite an amazing experience, and I was here in London for that. What were you doing on that day?
Well, I shouldn't really say it, but I was actually fishing on the Tay and then travelled down to my parents who had recorded it and then watched it post getting down there. But what an occasion. It was absolutely fantastic, amazing. And I'm a complete royalist through and through. And had I not pre-booked the fishing and had the opportunity to catch a salmon, which you don't very often, then I would have I'd have tried to get down here and watched it live.
So did you catch any fish that day?
No, I didn't. But that's another story. It's a bit of a shame, but the opportunity to try and catch one is there, and you can't really miss out on it. Once you get one online, then it's a fantastic feeling, and fighting and teasing that fish for 20 minutes or whatever it takes is, you can't beat that, the experience.
What is the art of casting with a fly?
It's all about getting the fly in the right place at the right time, and sometimes you can cast ugly, but it's just lands in the right spot and you catch your fish. But invariably, it's understanding the water, where it is and where the fish might be, and just getting your fly there and watching it and making sure that it drifts into the right place.
Well, this is SalesFort Talk, but you are a rugby player and you've been a coach for 25 plus years, worked with some great players and understand how strategy and teamwork really makes a difference with a team. If you were looking at this from a perspective of talking to people around the world, since we have 168 countries we broadcast to and 100 million people, not everybody who understands a monarchy and the role of the monarch, what would you say this experience of the coronation is for the people of England and how it brings them together? How would you compare that to building a team?
Wow. Well, obviously, it's about leadership and having the right person at the helm. But then building a strategy and then implementing it and making sure you have the right people doing the right jobs. And certainly on the day, having watched it through time and again, the coronation, I just thought it was timed to perfection. I thought the right people are in the right place. To have Handel's piece being played at that pivotal moment in the coronation and culminating in the king emerging, I just thought it was unbelievable the way that they'd gone through it with precision, got everything right, and it was absolutely amazing on the day. I loved it. And if ever there's a lesson on teamwork and strategy and precision, that certainly was it.
Thank you so much for being with us, Dean.
Thank you very much indeed, Karen.
All right, thank you for that, Crisscross Applesauce. It is Tuesday at 9:40. That means we check in with our friends at SalesFortTalk.com, and in studio, especially if you're watching on Twitch.tv, you see Patty Mangan is with us. And as I mentioned, Patty and I were over near the St. Francis Yacht Club in the media area for SailGP on Sunday, which was the final. We had 3 races, Patty. The first 2 was to decide who would win the San Francisco event, and then the last one was kind of the biggie with just 3 boats. Team Australia, with our friend Tom Slingsby, who's been on this show multiple times, they won $300,000 for the San Francisco event. Then they won the whole deal for $1 million. So they made a cool $1.3 million.
Yeah. Nice prize, right? I don't know how that compares to other sports, but it's good.
That's not bad. Yeah. I mean, how many are in the crew? Like 7?
Oh, no. I mean, there would be a flexible crew. Now, I can't tell you exactly, but I would say.
But I mean, during the race, how many are
there? I would say there's 7 or 8 on board, yeah.
And the race was actually exciting because it was, and I think it helped too that the television coverage was so outstanding and it was showing like a gridiron, and it really helped.
Yes.
Sort of the drone view, helicopters were around. But Australia had it in the bag, and then they came down off their foils.
Yes.
On their hulls.
More than once.
Yeah. Right near the end, and here comes New Zealand. Yeah. And so they basically won it by what, like a boat length, right?
Pretty much. I mean, they were right behind him. And he, in the press conference after that, Tom said, you know, that he was scared. Mm-hmm. He thought, I can't believe I've come this far. We've come this far, and we're gonna lose it right here, right now.
Now, what happens? Obviously, I understand that you don't have enough wind, and the boat comes right off its foils. How do you make sure you get the wind back? What sails do you throw out?
You just have to angle into it.
Find it
and hold it and keep it up. And again, at the press conference, he did say that, you know, New Zealand just did not make as many maneuvers. And he was trying to kind of position himself to be ahead of him. And he made more maneuvers than he needed to.
That's the thing, too, I thought was interesting, was that it's basically, what, six legs, right?
Yes.
Down and back.
Yep.
And you have to go around a buoy.
A mark.
Thank you. You go around a mark. There's two choices on one end, and then there's one on the other end, right?
Yeah.
But you have to sort of, I would say, tack to the outside and then tack back. That's the only way, because you're never going to go in a straight line like a inboard motorboat.
No. You can go into a pretty wide, and maybe hold it depending on wind, but for the most part, you're tacking through it. Yeah.
Let me ask you this. It looked like sometimes when people go around the first, they would choose one or two marks. I would think, as we used to say as an old college defensive back, we wanted a deep pursuit angle.
Yep.
Sometimes it looked like they were going just flat, like completely horizontal. Like, wouldn't it make more sense to go more at like a 45-degree angle? Do you know what I mean?
I do know what you mean. Yeah. There's a lot more than just going around. And actually, now that I think it, they're calling it the gate during the competition by the announcers. But in our racing on the bay, we call it a mark.
Mm-hmm.
But what they're also doing is figuring out how to break wind for other people.
Mm-hmm. I do that sometimes after I go to an Indian restaurant.
Came out of my mouth and I went, uh-oh. But if they can get into such a position that A, rules would not allow someone else to cut in, or they would be penalized, and or they can create a situation where someone else loses the wind that they've got. That is what, there's a lot of strategy going around that. And that's why you'll see them all going from one gate, and then one will peel off. He'll just go, that is going to be terrible.
Yeah, it's like, I will go that way, and I might have all the wind.
Clear field.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's going to be jockeying with
me. I thought it was interesting, too, because, you know, you're the experts in this, and this is my first time watching a SailGP race, was that once you're approaching the gate, if you kind of have... If you're there first, they were calling it the right of way, and you have to let that boat go first.
Yep.
So it's not like a car race where you can try to sneak in and get on the inside.
Nope. There's the rules of sailing and in general, and you have to give way.
I think probably the most fascinating thing I saw all three races was that there was this imaginary white line. Well, we could see it on TV. All they would see is two little starter buoys, whatever, marks. Mm-hmm. And they would try to hit it at the exact second the race was going to start at full speed. And all three races, as it counted, 8, 7, 6, 5, they all were right on the line.
Yep.
And I cannot believe that they can get it that precise when the wind is taking control of the boat.
It takes a lot of practice. And that if you can be the first over that start line, it'll determine the race. Even in our local racing. And that's when a lot of people run into each other, because someone will come in and take a chance and go into a hole that they think they can get through, but they don't know that the other guy's planning to.
We did see a collision with the USA boat, too.
Yeah. Yeah, and there was a collision on Saturday, too. Not bad ones, but Spain hit United States and they didn't see it coming? Threw some people out of position.
Last time they did that, they sunk the Maine, 1899, and we started the Spanish-American War. No.
Oh.
What about Penny Mangan is with us from SailSportTalk.com. Talking about SailGP here. I was pleasantly surprised at the interest. There was, you know, you and I, fancy pants, we go right into the media center, but there was a line all the way down Marina Green, almost to Chrissy Field, of people.
Yeah.
Who wanted to get a look. The sponsorships, all the people who were working for SailGP seemed like they were international. They had come from all over the world. I guess I didn't realize, because I'm so, you know, focused on the sports that I follow, at the interest in this.
Oh, worldwide. So SailGP, America's Cup, all these world competitions, they travel around the world to have each level of the competition or leg of it, let's say, for a purpose, to bring awareness and to have an audience and expose the love and I mean, it's crazy. Some of this, these are jets on the water. Yeah.
And they always end here in San Francisco, right?
And we are so lucky. They have their final race here.
I also got to see, and I've talked about it many times, the wasps with the silent Z. And we saw wasps with flags from all over the world. And as you told me, those kids were just having fun, that they kind of concluded their race on Saturday.
They did.
And just to, for your mind's eye listening on the radio, it's like a one-person boat with a foil. And then there's like on each side a net that you can lay on with your full body weight and then just flip back and forth. It's an interesting way to learn those different types of disciplines, but it's also, those things go really fast too.
Extremely fast. So we got to see them play on Sunday, and then they competed, and they had to qualify. So there was eight young men, seven young women, and I don't have the finishes handy, but we were going to talk to, I did meet Ethan Thompson from Canada, from Halifax. And he qualified in, I believe, Chicago. And then he lived in Bermuda, or they had qualifications there as well. But in all the locations that SailGP competes, they get a big, big crowd. Of course, in Australia, it's huge. The crowd is huge because we have Tom Slingsby, such a hero to the nation.
I noticed, too, when they were showing the breakdown of the personnel on the boats, that the tactician seemed always to be a female.
Yeah.
Which I think is good if you go with stereotypes that women are better at figuring things out than men sometimes. It just seems that it seems that way. But is that, can I be so bold as to say, is that kind of a thing now where if you don't have a woman tactician that it's like some sort of sexist thing?
No, it's new. Okay. It's a new thing. Women and youth, they're focusing on it. They're focusing on building that up and bringing these really talented athletes to that level.
And I also think it's important, as I mentioned, if you're on the shore, it's hard to figure out who's winning. And sometimes because of the angle, it looks like a boat's going really slow. And then you get the right angle, it's going really fast. Mm-hmm. To be on board with the skippers mic'd up, that really, I mean, that's a wise thing to bring people in and not make it seem like it's such a way out there on the water and puts you on that boat.
Yeah.
With the GoPro cameras and everything.
Right. No, yeah. When you're standing out along the waterfront, you don't have what we had to hear and see. You really don't know where the finish line is. You don't know where who's really ahead. And even the camera, from the helicopter or whatever, it'll show you better than what you can see directly in front of you. But what's really interesting is that those goal lines, that technology was developed by Stan Honey, who's a local guy that went to, I think it was first maybe used in football, maybe in sailing. I don't know where it was first used, but that, if you go to YouTube and watch SailGP races there, you will see it being used. It's really fascinating to be able to see the grid of the field.
So, yeah, because we were looking at ones from Cadiz and some of the other races, too, before. So is the season over, and when does it start up again, and where?
June? Yeah, June.
So what, do they get 2 weeks off?
Approximately. six. Because it's late June.
Oh, okay.
5 weeks. Is it June in is it Chicago or LA?
It's somewhere in America.
In America. I believe so.
Before we let you go, I was only able to attend Sunday for the three races, but for you, of course, it was Friday, Saturday, Sunday. There was like a little fete as well.
Yeah.
What can you tell us any other highlights of the weekend for you?
Well, Saturday, if you watch Saturday races, a second race, Phil Robertson from Canada, or skipper for Canada, he there's one of the races that he gets pretty cheeky. I'm going to go take a look myself.
Uh-huh. What, did he use some salty language?
No, in his maneuvering of the boat.
How is he cheeky? Did he moon the people as he went
down? Oh, no, just aggressive moves. He's known for.
Did he get under the skin and ire of other?
Possibly, and that's also a strategy,
mm-hmm.
right?
Get you off your game with anger and
game.
Revenge.
Get you mad.
Yeah.
But there's, you know, there's penalties for things like that. And you can hear, I have to go watch it all over again just to take it all in. Because
mm-hmm.
I'm so absorbed in the moment that I have to go back and really take it in to be able to say, okay, that was awesome. We did have a party over at South Beach Yacht Club for the Canada team. Mm-hmm. And it was really great to meet all the Canadians that were there and to get to know Phil a little better. He spoke to the crowd. It was really a well-programmed by SailGP to match the 9 teams with 9 yacht clubs that had youth sailing programs.
Mm-hmm.
That's what their outreach was about. And so the base tours had a lot of kids.
That's great. Well, I've been privileged to attend a lot of sporting events. It was my first time doing SailGP, and it's because of you guys at SailSport Talk. So thanks for letting me sit in with you on Sunday.
Absolutely. It was fun.
Patty Mangan, everyone. SailSportTalk.com. Check out more. We'll come on back on Byline.